Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the Firm Foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
We're going to go in our Bibles to Mark chapter 12. Gospel of Mark chapter 12, and we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now today, we're going to talk about the master key and talk about your mind and the mind of Christ. Say, my mind and the mind of Christ. We're talking about our minds, how we think, how we understand, and how important it is to get that right. So again, all of us listen up, young people, pay attention. This will help and bless you. I'll just say this, if you plan on being successful in life, I know you do, how you think is going to make the difference. In addition to what you believe and how you follow Christ, how you think will make the difference in your life. Your habits of thinking make the difference in your life. Now, Mark chapter 12, verse 30, Jesus said this, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like it. It is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandments greater than these." We've read this before. We understand what Jesus is saying. We understand the importance of loving God with your total being. He says here, love God with your soul, your mind, and all your, with your heart, your soul, your mind, and all your strength. And really, Mark says more than other gospel writers have said, but what caught my attention was this phrase when he said, love the Lord your God with all your mind. Say, all my mind. I won't explain all the rest of the statements about how we should love God, but this part here today is my focus. Is loving God with all your mind. What does it mean? How do you love God with your mind? Why is it important? Jesus made it a commandment. He made it a mandate. He made it something necessary for all of us to do. That's to say that if we don't do it, we're going to miss out on something. I don't know about you, but Jesus is a pretty important person, you know. You know what I'm saying? I'm pretty obedient, you know, to people who have authority and all that. I'm really paying attention to God. And when he says to me, love God in this way, with my heart and my soul, with all, by the way, all of my heart, all of my soul, all your mind. Now, he put the word all in because God knows that it's difficult for us to focus on one thing at a time. It's difficult for us to have a total commitment to God. You know, sometimes we say that we love God. I think we believe we do. And yet, We have our hearts all divided in all this other stuff, you know. He said, now bring your whole heart, bring your whole mind. When it comes time to worship God, you bring it all to God. Now, certainly, God lets us have focus on different things, your job, your education, your family, your friends, spouses, that's all important. But there's a time in which you gather up your entire being and you focus yourself on God. And that is not as easy as it sounds. I remember days gone by, I'm better at it now, but I would try to sit and read a book. And so I'm into like the first page, and then I realize that my eyes are scanning words, my mind is somewhere else. So I got to back up and reread because I'm not reading. I'm looking at the page, and my mind just strays off. And, you know, now I'm better. I can focus very carefully and very easily now on text. The point, though, is we're like that. You got to learn to bring your whole self to something, your whole being to something. Sometimes people go into a meeting with somebody and they're looking at their phone and this kind of stuff in the meeting. You know, I mean, we look like this time that we're living in was designed to distract us. You know, things are designed because if we don't pay attention to God, you know, texting and driving, that's a big example. People getting wrecks and having problems. In fact, in New York, they outlawed walking and texting. Now, that's going too far now. Come on, you can walk and text, you know. But the point is, they're just concerned about helping people have the idea, pay attention. Well, when he says here, love the Lord your God with all your mind, that is our topic for today. We'll talk about how that's done. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 beginning. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. And we talked to you last week about how to receive the things, or how to know what God's prepared for you, right? God's prepared a whole lot for you. And yet, if we don't focus on the source of how we know what we have, well, you won't find it. Here he says it very plainly. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us. So, you know, we say, I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what my plan. I don't know what God's plan is for my life. If you focus on God, the language of God's spirit, the language of God is his spirit, his word. If you focus on the right source information, you'll get everything you need. Now, we know this is true. We go shop. You know where to shop for stuff at. You know where to go and not to go. You know what to buy, what brands to buy, what brands not to buy. You know the source of good products, good services. How much more should we know the source of all the blessings we need is in God, but it's through his Holy Spirit, it's through his word. Now, I've been really concerned lately about this, observing things and looking at people's statements, what they're saying, is there's a lot of focus on what people think, on their opinions, and that is important. It has value. But then folks are telling you what they think about God, what they feel about relationships, what they think a family is. People are forming all these ideas and concepts and pushing it out like it's the only truth or the truth, and yet they're neglecting to see, what did God say about that? Yeah. Now, God hadn't talked about computers. He don't talk about microphones and airplanes and drones, but he talks about your mind. He talks about your money. He talks about your family. He talks about your marriage. He talks about what a marriage is. He talks about a lot of things. Yeah. But people are not paying attention to what God is saying. Here's the worst part. A lot of Christians are not paying attention. And there's a word for that. It's called carnal. Carnal. Carnal means flesh-ruled, sense-ruled. We'll talk about that here tomorrow, in a moment. Now, you know, it comes off as offensive to say that, you know, somebody's carnal. Well, hey, we all carnal sometimes. None of us are totally spiritual. Amen. Yes, I am, Pastor. Now, lying spirit jumped off on you now. I'm always spiritual. No, you're not always spiritual. There's no spirituality in eating dinner. Come on, somebody, taking a shower. So we do carnal stuff. We got to know how to operate, how to get things done. I can talk about sports and then talk about the Bible. Those are separate issues. I don't spiritualize the sports discussion. Now, they had earthquakes in California. Now, somebody going to start up, you know, oh, the judgment of God is going down. See, there they go, there they go. Them folk live on the San Andreas Fault. They built houses on a mountain, on a cliff. They're going to get hit. They're going to get earthquakes. They're going to have houses fall off the cliff. And it's not God. You live in the wrong place. Rightly divide the word. Don't mix the carnal and the spiritual. Understand how to operate in life. When you go to the doctor, if I go to a doctor for the first time, he talking about the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm like, oh, man, I'm out of here. I want a doctor with the power of the Holy Ghost. I want a doctor who knows medicine, who has a track record of doing things exceptionally well. He might not even be saved. Oh, my God. But don't try to play me with you're a Christian lawyer and you're a Christian this and you're a Christian that. You better be that. First, There's a lot of mixing up and playing with things that ought not be played with. We should be clear and rightly divide the word of truth and know how to relate. So he says here, when it concerns with the things that come from God, that requires the Spirit. These things we also speak, not in a word which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So that's what I'm doing here. I'm teaching, I'm preaching, and we're talking about, we're in church talking about the things of God. Now, we talk about things of God anywhere, but obviously when we come together, that's our purpose. I had invitations, for example, I had a politician say, we want to come to your service on Sunday morning and talk to the people. I said, no, you're not coming on Sunday morning. We don't do Sunday morning. Sunday morning is not for you to come talk about your campaign or your ideas for the city and all that. I mean, I appreciate that, but that's not, we don't gather for that, see? People got to stop mixing things up. Now, we go out into the world, we're salt and we're light. We can have a meeting for you, you know, here at the church building on a different day. You come and talk, we'll all come. The point is, let's stop mixing it all up. Like it all really doesn't matter, you know. I mean, I listened to, watched the feed, the Twitter feed from a famous comedian, who has a show, you know, where he has a game show. Leave it like that. And so talking about, you know, you got to hear from God. He said, you got to hear from God. Well, can you hear from God? Stop cussing all the time. Can you stop cussing all the time? I mean, in other words, here's talking about get with God. Then down there's like blankety blank. See, that's what's happening. People are just trying to go from slide from here to over there. If you slide into a carnal lifestyle, you don't slide back to a spiritual lifestyle. What we become is we become hypocritical. We become carnally minded. See, carnal minded does not exclude God. Carnal minded does not exclude going to church. It just mixes it all in there. Mixes it all in there because that's the part people want to see. The part you want people to see is that I go to church and I say inspirational things, but that won't save the world. He says, verse 14, but a natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, and yet himself is not rightly judged by no one. Verse 16, here's our main text here. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct God? So who then knows God's mind to a point in yourself, in your own wisdom, where you can then and tell God what to do? None of us. Then he says this, though, but we have the mind of Christ. So on one hand, in myself, I cannot talk about all of what God is, all what God can do. I don't understand that. But then he said, but we have the mind of Christ. It's like this. Before you went to school to be trained, let's say as a nurse, Nurse Hannah White, for example, she could not do nursing before she went to nursing school. Now, she could, you know, do some things. All of us can do some things. But you got to go someplace to become something, to be something. And once you receive that, you can go do it. So people have to realize when it comes to the things of God, we have to give your whole heart, your whole mind. Give yourself to God. Let God put in you what he wants to put in you. Then you have it. And have to go around just posturing about these things. We have, say I have, the mind of Christ. Now in a world full of confusion and anguish, mental anguish, all kinds of anguish, believers have a unique advantage. Now, I said this on last week to somebody. We don't want to lose our advantage. That's to say, as a believer, you've got the advantage of having God's presence with you, God's peace with you. You got the mind of Christ, the ability to think and to pray and to have to come up into your thoughts, something from God can enter your mind. God can give you thoughts, ideas, insight, wisdom. That's your advantage. Amen? Say, it's my advantage. But, like I said last week, if we consume ourselves with a whole bunch of content that's just not helpful and foolish, or if we get involved with people all the time who aren't really doing anything, saying anything, though. James Brown said, talking loud and saying nothing. You know, the great James, the prophet James Brown, okay. If we get caught up in all of that, you will lose your advantage. You will drive out of you the presence of God. You literally drive the presence of God away from you. You will drive that ability for your mind to consider or to have God's thoughts enter your mind. You can drive that away. Drive it away by not engaging deeply with Christ. I mean, in prayer and Bible study and Bible reading. I mean, things you know, things you already know, have always known. But somehow Christians think that doesn't matter how I live. I'm already saved. I'm good to go. No, you can lose your fellowship. You can lose your edge. You can lose the capacity to exercise the mind of Christ. Now we're just looking at you all the time. You know, and stuff you say, you know. I mean, it's really interesting to get around believers who've not taken care of business with God and just listen to them. Listen to them. Listen to what they say. Look at what they tell you. Look at how they want to prove things. You know, and so it's obvious, you know, you should just stop talking and get with God. You know, let's talk tomorrow or something. Because sometimes people, Christians, are so biblically, not almost illiterate, they just haven't practiced their faith. They've not spent time in the Word. They don't read Bible. Don't read the Word. Do not pray. And so there is just this absence of the presence of God. Absence of understanding. We have to make the choice. Joyce Meyer said something. I read an article. She said, I can decide what I think. I get to decide what I think. I don't have to go with whatever thoughts fall into my mind. I get to decide and control what I think. I agree with that, don't you? And if we don't agree with that, then we're susceptible to entertaining any old thought. Whatever comes into mind, that becomes, you know. So, but when we have the mind of Christ, there's always something to challenge what comes in. Or as the Bible said, that we cast down the imaginations. But he said we do it by submitting every thought to Christ. Now, it sounds tedious, and it is tedious at first, but once you form the habit of dealing with what you think and not acting on some thoughts and acting on the thoughts that God gives, it becomes a habit. It becomes easier over time. So, for example, to this day, it's easier for me now to assess a situation, whatever it is, and then a scripture comes to my mind about that situation almost every time. A scripture. Now, scripture isn't always the answer to what comes up, but oftentimes it is. Amen? Now, see, but that doesn't happen. If we're not walking with God in prayer and reading the Bible, regular Christian activity, then our minds don't help us like that. We also have a carnal mind. We have a carnal mind. We have a spiritual mind. We all have both. Well, it's one mind. It's not two minds. It's, you know. But it's just, I mean, it's a part of us. I mean, I need the technician working on my car to be carnally minded, to really think carefully about that situation right there. You know, I really need that. That's what I need. And now, if he's a believer, he may get something from God, too. All the better. Amen. All the better. Amen. But then if Christians don't spend any time in the Word and all that, they don't have anything but themselves. And it's almost, listen, y'all, it's sometimes hilarious what people come up with all on their own, all by themselves. There's some doctrines floating around. I'm not going to waste the time. But there's stuff people talking about that doesn't make any sense. And they are convinced this is the way it is. In fact, the Bible said, let me give another scripture here and show you a video. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. Got a slide for that. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. That's a pretty astonishing text, isn't it? Because, man, if it seems right to you, it's right. If it seems right to you, it's right to you. But it seems right to you, but it leads to death. Now, how can we separate out what seems to be from what's real? Well, God, His Word, and facts about things in life. I use a phrase often, talking to people and debating issues. I use a phrase, learned it in school years ago, but it's called empirical evidence. Empirical evidence. So someone says the earth is flat. You know, it seemed like the earth is flat. I see, you look out there, it's a straight edge. You know, go out to the ocean, look out there, it's all straight, and it has to be flat. I mean, I'm talking about in 21st century, people saying that. But if you go stand on the coast of Michigan City, Indiana, on a clear day, you're going to see the tops of the buildings in Chicago. Just the tops of the buildings. Not the whole building, the tops. Why? Because the earth is curving. That's called empirical evidence. Or, you know, when I went to Africa, we woke up, I mean, it was like 7 hours difference. Y'all sleep, I'm awake. I'm in the light, y'all in the darkness. You don't get that on a flat earth, you know. I mean, it's just simple stuff. But people, when they get something in their mind, it is an astonishing thing to see how folk deceive themselves, even on the simplest things. It is incredible to me. So they faked the moon landing. Oh, goodness. I don't have time. I mean, just see, people, if it seemed, and listen, people are, I say people, well, people, obviously people, some people, are so quickly willing to sum it up. It cannot perceive truth like that. You get the point. We need the mind of Christ. Because the mind of Christ doesn't make you super spiritual. It make you have some sense, you know. It make you like spooky and weird. The mind of Christ gives you a real footing in reality. You know, Jesus, if you're sick and got the mind of Christ, you can't say, I'm not sick. He'll tell you, you're sick, but I want to heal you. I have healed you. The mind of Christ does not play these games people play. Jesus is really down to earth. He's always real. He's always honest with us. He doesn't lie to us. He tells us what it is, and he says right away after that, now, I can fix that right here. Here's how I'm going to do it. Now, the point on the slide says, in the Christian faith, we also have concepts and lofty ideals, but we also have the reality of a spiritual and firm foundation on which to build our concepts and ideals. So we have lofty ideals, and we have like really solid down-to-earth ideals. Well, when it comes to construction and architecture, we know if you build a building poorly, it might not stand. I mean, it won't stand. It's obviously built very, very poorly. And bridges the same way. In fact, I saw a clip where they actually, in Italy, they actually destroyed a bridge that already had collapsed, partially collapsed, and killed people. So they went ahead and finished the whole thing off because it was a bad bridge. Well, in Tacoma, there was a bridge that spanned a river called the Tacoma Narrows Bridge. And it was designed, and it was a suspension bridge like the Golden Gate Bridge. It was built after Golden Gate Bridge. So they already knew how to build bridges that do not fail. But for some reason, whoever built this bridge, designed and built it, didn't pay attention. And so watch what happened. Watch the video here. Watch some of it. It's kind of long, but I'll just show you some of it. And this was a real place. I mean, in fact, the new bridge has already been built years ago. It's back in 1940. So a gale is a strong wind. So the wind is blowing this, look at that, it's blowing this bridge. Look at that. This bridge is being, now that wind is no stronger than the wind that affects the Golden Gate Bridge. But you'll notice one thing about this bridge that came out in the investigation later, this bridge has solid sides. See those sides? They're all solid. The Golden Gate Bridge is open, so wind can blow through. What he found out was, basically, that thing became a sail. Now, skip ahead, get him to the very end when it collapses, just before the end of it. Here's a guy walking on it. Now, yeah, right here. So here, now the thing is, you know, is just giving way. All that buffeting, all that, you know, the fluctuations of the wind. And now the thing is a car out there. There's a guy out there, too. I don't know what he's out there for. No, what happened was he went back to save a dog. That's the story. But he saved the dog, and he got out of there alive, okay? So I'm like, hey, Fido, it's been real, man, but you're going to die today. So there it goes. There's the cable support thing. That's pretty amazing. And this was obviously a major failure. All architects in the whole world learned from this. It won't happen again. But my point, though, is take this as an example of how we think, how we allow our minds to operate. Isn't that something? It's called, and this happened every time the wind blew. It was not, people came to watch it. If the forecast was wind, they go out there and watch this thing and go drive across it while it's doing all this, figuring it's not going to fail. It's just doing its thing. Again, I'm showing you this just as a parable, because people's minds are doing this. Sometime in our mind, we look like this. We let stuff come in our mind, and we're all twisted and all shook up, and we keep letting these things continue until at some point it hurts us. And there it is. So then, there it goes. Yeah. All right, that's it. That's kind of a weird way to make my point, okay? But I'm making my point that there are principles that sustain you in the stuff that doesn't help you. There are things people are into that lead them into trouble and collapse. Poor design, poor thinking, not controlling our thoughts, not having the mind of Christ. I'm not suggesting this happened to everybody. Of course it doesn't. But I don't know, I've had very bad days that have come out of not dealing with my mind, not shutting some things down. You know, one of the worst things you can do is to think about things you cannot control and you cannot change. Now, we think about it, but get your mind off that as soon as you can. If you can't find a resolution or a coping mechanism, something, get your mind off of that, because that's going to lead to a very bad place. And we do, you know, we advocate mental health, and I'm very much in favor of all that. And we know this, don't we, from mental health understanding, that those types of mental distress leads to mental illness. You don't begin with illness, you begin with distress. Distress. All right, enough of that. You got the point. Now, here's a quote from Dallas Willard. You've heard it before, not lately, but listen to this. Dallas Willard said this: confusion leads to becoming lost. All right? Confusion leads to becoming lost. We are not lost because we're going to wind up in the wrong place. We're going to wind up in the wrong place because we're lost. Now, it seems like a play on words is a very, very good statement. We don't approach things correct. See, we don't understand that people are in the wrong place because they're already lost. It is not that people simply, you know, are lost and then become or come to a wrong place. No, no. The lostness is first. And being lost come out of confusion. And confusion comes out of not setting our mind on things above. not putting our mind in healthy places, right? Not even, you know, a lack of sleep is also injurious to us. That we know as well. So the first master key, don't go back, but the first master key was what I said earlier. You can choose your thoughts and think on things on purpose. You don't have to just think about whatever falls into your mind. And then the next master key is this. That was from Proverbs 14:12. Life's most important questions cannot be answered solely from our own understanding. You agree with that? All right, go back to the slides now. And so then we are not going to become lost through allowing thoughts to confuse us. Again, understand this. The strategy we have with the enemy is he wants to confuse us. Conflicting information, troubling reports. I mean, I watch the news. I pay attention to things. I really do. But I know how much to watch. I know when that's enough now. I've got the news. I'm going on. I'm moving on because too much of that stuff brings confusion, and confusion is what destabilizes. Okay, now here's the next master key. All right, what is the mind of Christ? The mind of Christ is our mind. Sorry, the mind of Christ with our mind, there it is wisdom, insight, and understanding that come from a relationship with Jesus Christ. It comes from in the form of thoughts and understanding inspired of God. There it is. Very, very good. So the mind of Christ is exactly that. It is your mind and Jesus together coming into wisdom and insight, understanding, because you walk with God. It's good, isn't it? It's good to be competent. I mean, we must be competent in our profession, our jobs, but what a blessing to be a believer and add the mind of Christ to your skills and your competence. That's the best outcome right there. And I encourage you, young folks especially, you ought to do well at school, study hard, you know, pay attention, read everything, do all the tests, pass every assignment, because you need all that. And then you want to spend time in the Word and prayer so you can have God to help you with everything you're gaining. And that, saints, is absolutely the best outcome, isn't it? Amen. And wife and I, we did, in fact, on Wednesday, in fact, we went down to the bank and wrote that check, paid the house off. And it was nice. It was a nice moment. The banker was happy for us, even though they, a week before, sent us a letter saying, we'll give you $200, and how much money are they going to give us? A bunch of money? $280,000. Before we bought, you know, because the house is worth whatever it is now. And so they want to, you know, get us in deeper on the way out. You know what I'm saying? But come on back. Don't leave us now. You've been good to us for 25 years. My point, though, is that whole 25-year ordeal, now we could have done it shorter. We had a equity loan and refis and all that. But here's the point. Even though, you know, my wife and I manage money very well, Pat even more so, got that done. It's a great thing. But it wasn't without the mind of Christ. It wasn't without the grace of God helping. The giving, the tithing, the generosity, it all worked together. It worked together for us. And you could not achieve that with the mind of Christ alone. You have to have good management skills. You got to have money to be able to pay stuff. But the mind of Christ and your mind is how you come into wisdom, insight, understanding. So I thank God for that reality, for that truth. Now I want to give you some quick thoughts here about how we can get our minds in a better place. The Bible tells us over and over again in different ways, essentially life and death are in the power of your tongue. Now we believe in positive confession, but not in the way that some teach it. We don't believe that you confess something and then some metaphysical thing happens, like some magical thing. No, we don't believe that. There's teachings that your words create things. No, God's words create things. Your words move air around, amen? All right? But the point, though, is that having the same spirit of faith, we believe and therefore spoke. So it's your faith in God that's making a difference, and your confession affirms what you believe. Ultimately, nobody's going anywhere that they don't believe and talk about. So if you don't talk about something, naturally speak about things that you believe, then it just says you don't really believe it. It's not going to happen for you. Not because words are magical, but because words are an expression of what's in your heart. And so when a person, that's why I'm very, you know, when I work with young people, I help them all the time. I don't let them say things they just shouldn't say. I just can't do this. You know, we're not going to say that. No. You say that you're struggling with this right now. But you can do it. And because if you get in your mind that you can't do it and it come out your mouth, you have sealed your conviction by your words. That's why the Bible says that in the heart we believe, and through the mouth confession is made to salvation. Right? So we confess Christ as Lord because we believe he's Lord. And you talk about everything else you believe in, right? We talk about all the stuff we like, and that's normal. Well, I like God. I love God. So here's some confessions I'm going to give you. And this is out of a book you've seen before, my book on winning the battle for your mind. I've taught this before many occasions. Let me give you these quick statements. We'll say them together. So first of all, say this. Say, I mortify my mind. Now, mortify means put to death. Put to death. And you can read the scripture, Romans 8, talks about our minds and carnal mind and spiritual mind. But here's a confession. In fact, if you can, read with me. Carnality does not control my lifestyle. My mind is the property of Jesus. Satan, keep your hands off. I am dead to sin and alive to God. I am dead to things carnal and alive to things spiritual. I am a debtor to the Holy Spirit who gave me life. Now, if, like Pastor Bumpus says, if you're serious, he always says that altar call. If you want to get saved and you're serious about it, if you want your mind to be renewed and to, you know, have a better way of thinking and have a better mental state, then I'm going to encourage you, you know, to take these things to heart. I'll put this in the podcast, in the podcast notes. I'm going to have all this in the podcast notes. But if you will think on this and reflect, read the scripture and reflect on these statements and say these things and study through it, it'll tremendously change you. It will dramatically change you because it's God's word. It's astonishing to me how quickly we can change when we agree with God. Another statement. See, I clear my mind. Let's read. I clear my mind of thoughts of anger, envy, and disappointment at others. I give place for the peace of God to flood my mind. Jesus, you are my peace. I dig up seeds of bitterness and cast them away. I have the mind of Christ. Now, a powerful statement. They're all powerful. But, you know, if we don't do anything with it, it won't help us, will it? So I always ask you this. What is potential? Nothing. Potential is nothing. That boy got potential. But if he doesn't do anything, he won't amount to anything. Quick story. I found a place to fit this story in. This morning, I had my study time at the Starbucks early at sunrise and sitting out there drinking coffee, watching the sun come up, doing some reading and stuff. And then I had a desire after that to go get a Diet Sprite. Now, I never do that. I never do Diet Sprite in the morning. I like Diet Sprite, but I don't do it in the morning. So I went around to the Speedway not far from the Starbucks to get my Diet Sprite. On the way into the store, a lady asked me to help her. This was an older lady on the way to church, black lady all dressed up, elegant older lady in a Buick, you know, nice Buick, on the way to church. And she was fumbling over there with the tire. And so she said, can you help me get air in my tire? As it turned out, another woman tried to help her. So when she saw me, she, you know, just I parked close to her, so she called me up, happy to help, happy to go. Went over there to help put air in the tire. Well, she didn't put enough money in the thing, not enough coins in there. It wasn't even turned on. So I got my credit card out, I swiped it, it came on. I'm putting air in the tire. I look up while the air is going in slowly, and in the car, another woman in the car, I don't know if it's her daughter or what, and I saw a young man in the back seat with headphones on. I thought to myself, he must be disabled. He must be either mentally or physically disabled. I'm thinking about mine. I may have looked a little longer at him, I should have, you know. I'm thinking, now, why is he out here doing this? Okay, he's something wrong with him. Had to be. So I said to her, I see the young man, is he okay, you know? She says, yes, he can't do things like this. He doesn't know how to do this. Oh. Okay, well, all right. Then he got out the car. Tall, strong. He wasn't disabled no kind of way. And so all I said was, listen here, man, next time, this is your job. Now, I thought to myself, what kind of man, young man, any kind of man, let an old lady pump her own tire up? And Pat said, well, he didn't know. Now, he knew. He didn't want to do anything. So that's a long way of saying potential is nothing. That's a pretty bad story, too. But, you know, it's amazing what people don't do and don't try to do. If he couldn't do it, just stand by her and show some support. Well, I could have had a whole, I don't know what the deal was. I guess his grandmother, mama in the car. I don't know. They didn't let him, maybe. Well, whatever. Well, she did say, could you show him how? I said, well, I got to go now, you know what I'm saying? I mean, he should have been out there waiting for something to happen. He should have been standing by. Oh, Lord, have mercy. All right. Number three, say this. Renew my mind. I have the power through my Lord Jesus Christ to replace wrong thought patterns with thoughts that please God. I can root out, pluck down, throw down, and destroy anything in me that is not of God. I can build and plant anything that is of God. Amen. Number four, say I set my mind. Let's read. I'm a decisive person. I'm a decisive person by the grace of God. My mind taps into the riches of God's wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. My mind is innovative, creative, and productive in every purpose of God. I am disciplined in my thought life and repel every fiery dart from Satan. Five, say I focus my mind. Let's read. I see clearly what I must do. There is no cloud of confusion in me. My mind will grasp everything I need to know. I cast down imaginations and opinions born of pride. My mind is a tool and a servant of my Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And the final one, number six, say I guard my mind. I guard my mind from the seeds of Satan. My mind is the gateway to my heart. I will protect the treasure of God's word in me. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and lust of other things would not choke word in me. Yes. God's healing power dominates my body and mind. The forces of the life of God flow out of me to bless others. That's some good stuff, y'all. It's really good. It's good if we'll embrace it. If we'll go back later, look for it, dig it out, read it, say it, believe it. And these are the ways that we don't look like the bridge that's flopping around and collapsing, but like the Golden Gate Bridge that just stands the test of time. Amen, somebody? Let's all stand.